This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
This is Susan Lee, You and Your Money. Have you wondered how suddenly the economy collapsed this past year? Listen to our Friday, May 22nd fundraising special from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. to hear economics professor Rick Wolff's Capitalism Hits the Fan. That's Susan Lee, You and Your Money fundraising special, Rick Wolff's Capitalism Hits the Fan on Friday, May 22nd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay, and with that, it's 1 minute after midnight on listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM. I am apparently off the hook from pitching tonight. It's all over for the overnights. So a big, big, big thank you to everybody who shelled out 868 clams for Delphine Blue and Shocking Blue. And a big thank you to everybody who shelled out 700 odd clams for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with me, Bill Weinberg, last week. Please do remember to pay your pledge. What do you know? The phone is still ringing. Maybe there actually still are volunteers back there. I was under the impression that I'm not pitching tonight because the volunteers are all going home. I trust this is the case. But I'll go find out for sure. In any event, whether it is the case or not, the fact that it is now 2 minutes after midnight on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City means that it's time for this. Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there. I believe that the pledge lines remain open for just a few more minutes. If anybody wants to, wouldn't it be nice if we could just, I'm keep looking at this $868 on the monitor from the tally room here. And it would sure be nice if it said 1,000. Now, I didn't raise that $868. Delphine Blue did. But if somebody could call in and a couple of people call in, pledge $100, jack it up to an even 1,000 in the 5 minutes remaining before the people in the tally room go home, that'd be pretty good. That'd be a good start to the show. While we're waiting for special guests to arrive, the number is 212-209-2950. If you felt really, really guilty about not pledging last week, this is your last opportunity this drive to pledge for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade at 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 in the mere minutes which are remaining for you to do so. BAI remains in deep financial crisis, but you know what the good news is? We're halfway to closing the gap. The gap, as I understand it, the budgetary gap, is $800,000. And as of Tuesday, May 19th at 3 p.m., according to the BAI website, we have raised $466,450. So we're on our way. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and it does not appear to be an oncoming train. So, maybe BAI is going to pull through after all. Thanks to your generous support. So, once again, the number is 212-209-2950. And probably you've only got like 5 minutes or so to make that call before the folks back in the tally room go home for the evening. So, boy, would I be happy to see that tally move up to 1,000. Just two people would call, pledge $100, become a member, get the premium of your choice. Ask back in the tally room what the premium of your choice is. You all know about the T-shirt and the hat and the mug. I don't have to reiterate it yet again. It's all groovy stuff. 212-209-2950. You know, this song that we're listening to is okay, but I think I like the next one better. So why don't we move on to the next one? Listen to that! The phone just rang! Music to my ears. On the subject of music, there it is again. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Your last opportunity is this fun drive to give it up for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Please do so. So then, collectively, Delphine Blue, Shocking Blue, and Bill Weinberg, Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade can make $1,000 and feel like we contributed to the cause of WBAI survival along with you, the listener. Put your shoulder to the wheel. Call 212-209-2950. Let's jump to the next cut, which I think is going to be a little bit livelier. A little bit of a flamenco feel. Yeah.
can't we go swimming anymore? Is there anything we can do about this? Yes, there is. The Hudson was once covered with salt marshes. Now it's all concrete. Salt marshes, clean water. Of the grass fix dirt particles in the water, turning them into soil, and bacteria in the soil break down toxins. The grass produces oxygen and cools the atmosphere. Restore salt marsh areas. By bringing in silt. And transplanting life forms. There are solutions. Why aren't they being tried? What is the World Bank? The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund are financial institutions claiming most of the world's nations as members. But those states that contribute the most money have the loudest voice. 20% of this money that the U.S. puts in comes directly from taxes. 80% comes from pension funds, banks, unions, colleges, maybe yours. Either way, you pay for it. In the 1970s, the World Bank gave big loans to poor countries. Loans often paid for dams, roads, huge projects that hurt the environment. Money went not to the people, but to the elites. Soon these impoverished countries were hopelessly in debt to the World Bank. Their only hope, new loans to cover the debts. But to get new loans, they had to agree to structural adjustment. Structural adjustment is when a country agrees to make changes in its economy that favor multinational corporations. They must raise interest rates, making it hard for local people to buy homes or start businesses. They must cut food programs for the poor. They must limit access to public education. They must smash trade unions. And they must sell state-owned industry and natural resources to multinational corporations. Finally, global businesses come in to exploit the cheap labor. Sound familiar? It should. Structural adjustment is based on the economic policies that Ronald Reagan tried in the United States in the 1980s. Our social programs have been cut in the name of paying the national debt. Structural adjustment has led people all over the world to riot. It's time to smash the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund.
Right. Getting started at close to 1 o'clock in the morning here on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. This is the Marsh Orthodox Radio Crusade. And we heard once again from, just as we did 2 weeks ago tonight, from Seth DeBachman and his similar, although not identical, conglomeration of musicians. Seth, would you like to introduce them?
Yes. This is Zeph Noyes on violin. Andy Laides on flute and other instruments, and Eric Blitz on drums.
And that was a segue of two pieces you just did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A piece on the salt marshes and a piece on the World Bank.
Mm-hmm. And you're once again getting ready for a performance, a live
right.
performance.
Yeah, we're going to be part of an event called False Solutions to Climate Change. Is that right?
So?
Yeah, at Shoshama on Thursday night, working with a lot of indigenous people's organizations who are doing events all this week contesting false solutions to climate change.
Mm-hmm. And where is Shoshama?
East 42nd Street.
Okay. Well, maybe we can get a more exact address.
We will. Actually, there's somebody in the building who has the exact address
right
written
down. In the building as opposed to in the studio.
In the next room, but not in the studio.
Okay. And you guys are going to be performing there when?
Thursday night.
There's speakers.
You got it. Speaking of the mic.
Sorry. Speakers, films, and performances going on, I believe, starting at 10 in the morning, but the performance portion begins at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. On the subject of false solutions to climate change, have I got that right?
Yes.
No, that's a very, very timely one, considering that there is a climate bill which is pending in Congress at the very moment, and it's the Democrats who are putting forth this notion of carbon trading, where utilities and oil companies and automobile manufacturers and the like will be able to will receive pollution credits from the government, which will allow them to exceed the legal limits if they clean up their act in other ways, and to sell the right to pollute back and forth and trade it on the open market. This is what's being pushed by the Democrats and being rejected by the Republicans. The free market solution is being rejected by the Republicans, who in turn want subsidies for nuclear power and for so-called carbon capture technology on the oil burning plants. So all of these solutions coming from either side of the aisle strike me as rather problematic.
Yeah.
And we apparently have two guests here from the Indigenous Environmental, what's the name of their organization? I wish they were here in the studio
Earth
to tell
Peoples.
Us.
Yes, Earth Peoples.
Earth Peoples, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Elaine Benavides and Lawrence Laughing should be here. Let me see if I can find the name of the organization on the web. Earth Peoples is one. Here we go. Let's see if there is an announcement for your event on the Earth People's website. So this is in preparation. Here we go. Indigenous Peoples False Solutions on Climate Change. There we go. The UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination criticized Indonesia's draft 2008 regulation on implementation procedures as the so-called RED, as incompatible with the rights of indigenous peoples. Now, what is the RED, once again, the R-E-D-D? Which the United Nations is apparently going to be discussing this week? Well, maybe you guys would like to play some more music while we find our guests. Or maybe I'll play some more music while we find our guests. Why don't we do that? You know, we were opening up with George Lamam, Lebanese violin virtuoso. And maybe we'll hear a little bit more of him while we wait for our guests to find their way into the studio. Okay. And now we are joined, I believe, by Elaine Benavides.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yes.
And Lawrence Laughing.
Yes. Right. Hello.
Speaking to the mic, folks. And your, the name of your organization is Earth Peoples?
Yes.
Right. And the event tomorrow is also being coordinated with the Indigenous Environmental Network, if I've got that right?
Actually, there's co-sponsors. There's a lot of different co-sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you want to tell me something about your organization and your work?
Well, actually, I am a musician. I grew up in Texas. I came here to New York City. I studied music at Juilliard, and then I did an event in 2003 at the United Nations. There were different indigenous peoples that I've met that are I've learned quite a lot from. I'm actually not an expert myself. I focus on the actually promoting indigenous issues as far as some of the, I guess, my point of view on...
All right, how does all this relate to false solutions on climate change?
Well, this particular event is actually going to be at Shoshama Theater. It's 217 East 42nd Street between 2nd and 3rd. And
on Thursday night, right?
Yes, there's going to be a lot. Actually, there's a lot of events going on during the day. 10 o'clock, there's actually going to be some speakers, some films being shown to explain some of the different vision situations from different perspectives. And then around 7:30 to 11, there's going to be more music happening, like a culture jam. And it's diverse groups, one of which is Zool Dance. And they're a Mexican, actually it's a contemporary group that has ritualistic
elements of their performance.
Yeah, elements of the performance. Mm-hmm. There's also, of course, this group, and Lawrence and I are doing something. This is the first time we're collaborating also.
In a musical context?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring a disc of your music? Or?
Well, I know he has some of his work, and I have some. What we're doing live is actually going to be a raw collaboration. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, well, do you wish to share some with us, either live or on disc?
Sure, yeah. You have something of yours.
Okay. Any particular...
The first one.
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay, how long is it? Oh, there we go. 3 minutes and change.
Yes.
Good. So, Lawrence Laughing, do you want to tell us something about yourself?
Traditional, they call us Mohawk in the world, but that'd be impossible because there's no M's in my language.
Ah.
So, I'm Ganyangahaga of the Ludenoshone people. I come from a community called Akwesasne,
mm-hmm.
which is on the New York State and the Canadian boundary.
Right. Straddling the St. Lawrence River.
Yes. Half in Ontario, half in Quebec.
Right.
But the people in my community are the traditional people. We're not American, we're not Canadian. My community is roughly around 6,000 years old, so that's kind of impossible.
Right. Predates both the U.S. and Canada.
Yes, yes. So I grew up as a traditional singer. Mostly I come from that that element. I spent most of my life in the longhouse learning songs and ceremonies, so I'm mostly a ceremonial singer. And then a few years ago I met Joy and Shenandoah, and we did a duet together, and I didn't expect it to take off like it did, but it did. So then I started traveling.
And you were most recently in Manitoba.
Past 17 years I've been in Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
I went out there in 1990 after all the trouble in my community from 1985 to 1990. I needed a break from all that, and I ended
all
up...
All the violence at Akwesasne
yes,
at that time.
Yes, there was incredible violence of civil conflict and many, many kinds of conflicts.
Yes, very complicated.
So I went out to Manitoba to find peace.
Did you find it?
At first I did. I thought I was in heaven. and then I realized I was in hell.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because of the way it is. And when I first got there, if you can see, I have long hair. I've had long hair my whole life. And when I got out there, I seen every man, every native man, every Indian man had long hair. So I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. I kind of like that. Because I worked here previously in New York City as an iron worker.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the iron workers, you know, they cut their hair short mm-hmm. because of the job. But I would never do it. So when I got to Manitoba, in the beginning, because of the wilderness, it was so beautiful, so pristine. Wolverine, there's brown bear, black bear, eagle. There's so much abundance of life out there. So I was kind of like in the northern areas at first. But when I came down south to Winnipeg, something changed in me dramatically. Because of the situation out there. So then I began teaching out there.
All right, now what's the situation?
The situation? It's kind of hard to talk about on the air right now. It's extreme poverty.
Yes.
The native population in Winnipeg, which is about half the city of 600,000, lives under 2,000 Canadian a year, which is like 1,400 American a year. As a teacher, I had to witness a lot of my students coming in with lard sandwiches, lard on white bread, things like that, and it was right in my face.
Right.
The word out there for a native man is nigger, straight up. A black man is a black man. Out here in New York, when I used to work here a lot of times with my black friends, sometimes my bosses, they'd say, I'd rather hire you than some, you know, out here in New York. But when I got out there, it was the opposite.
Mm.
the bosses would say, I'd rather hire a black man than some nigger any day.
Mm.
So I kind of like that was a, you know, a huge eye-opening. Cause I
all right, so you say this intense poverty and racism was worse down around Winnipeg than up north in the more remote areas?
Oh, it gets even worse when you get into remote areas. $22 for a gallon of milk.
Right, that's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
But I thought you said that you were sort of at peace up in the remote areas
when
you came down to Winnipeg.
Because you don't need milk up there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, what do you need milk for up there? Mm. You live off the land. Mm. Like I say, the land was abundant up
yes.
north.
Mm.
So you can still live off the land like that.
Mm.
Most of my life I've tried to live that style of lifestyle.
Mm.
Today I live in a community called Ganyange,
mm-hmm.
up by Altona, which we're off the grid. We raise our own food. We just finished our maple project. And now seed planting.
That's up in
here.
The Adirondacks, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And hunting, fishing, trapping, only for, not trapping for money, but trapping just for our meat.
Subsistence.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a little bit about me.
Uh-huh.
But mostly, like I say, I'm a ceremonial singer. Usually, too, when I do an event, I never plan it. I let whatever happens happen. I'm kind of more like that. But I do have a big background of music behind me from thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Because the singing is pretty intense where I come from.
Okay, well, why don't we hear a little of your singing in that case, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Skanagoaga, how ya we ne gai na we ahe. Sego, skanagoaga. Skanagoaga, how ya we ne gai na we ahe. Aniwe, anayo, aniwe. Skanagoaga. Skanago aga, how yo ine, gae na we ahe, sego ho, skanago aga. Skanago aga, how yo ine, gae na we ahe, sego ho, skanago aga. Skanago aga, how yo ine, gae na we ahe a, aniwe, anayo, aniwe a. Skanago aga, skanago aga, how yo ine, gae na we ahe, sego ho, skanago aga. Skanago aga, how yo ine, gae na we ahe, sego ho.
Cut entitled I Wish You Peace from Lawrence Laughing and his album Now Our Minds Are One. So, Lawrence, you want to tell us something about it and where your disc is available?
Through Silver Wave Records out in Boulder, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
I did that quite a few years ago now.
Oh, yeah?
Like I say, I just, well, first lady I did was Olanda with Joanne, and then I kind of like took off to Manitoba, and then I came back and I did this with Silver Wave.
Mm-hmm. So this was recorded where?
On Boulder, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Silver Wave Records. Mm-hmm. James Marathon and Tom Wassinger was the producer. Two beautiful, beautiful people. And Joanne, of course, Joanne Shenandoah. Mm-hmm. She's the one that opened the door for me.
And traditional melody, traditional words?
Sego is it's like a slang. It's they use it as hello, but it means again.
Mm-hmm.
And skana goa ga. Skana, peace, goa, great, ga. To you. So again, I wish you great peace. Because in a way, in our old way, we believe in incarnation, that we're always here, always coming back. And so that's why we always say again.
Mm-hmm.
In our language here, there's no word for goodbye,
mm-hmm.
just how we meet again.
This is Mohawk language.
Yes, Ganyangahaga language.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hard to be Mohawk when there's no M's in the language.
Right, I understand.
Yes.
But it's difficult for me to pronounce the correct word,
yes,
so I say Mohawk.
Yes,
forgive
Mohawk
me.
Will be fine for
that. So and so, you guys are going to be performing once again along with Seth and his crew.
Mm-hmm.
This coming Thursday. Does anybody have the exact information of where and when it's going to be?
217 East 42nd at Shishama Theater.
Mm-hmm. Starting what time?
10 o'clock. There's a bunch of speakers. There's films happening, and then at 7. There starts a culture jam till 11 o'clock.
Uh-huh. And are they asking something at the door? You don't have to tell us what the price is. But
it's a free event.
Oh, it's a free event. Wonderful. Wonderful. And this is all related to the fact that here, I found out what RED stands for. Reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation, which apparently the United Nations is discussing this week, as well as the fact that there is this climate bill which is pending in Congress, which... The Democrats are pushing carbon trading as a solution and essentially creating a free market for carbon credits, which means the right to pollute.
Yes.
And the Republicans are actually rejecting this, but instead they want subsidies for nuclear power. So both of these solutions, I would say, are sort of dangerous.
Yes.
Yes. Lawrence, I understand that you witnessed firsthand some of the impacts of major hydro development up in the Canadian North,
up in northern Manitoba,
yeah, which is also being plugged as a as an alternative to the fossil fuels, but it's really not all that green.
Not for the people up there, is
right?
It? Not having to give up all their land and all their rights and all their animals and their whole way of life. A lot of the communities are destroyed by this, so that down here people can turn on their lights and have air conditioning and all that, while the people up north that are actually putting up this project are suffering.
Right, now, which project is this exactly?
Wasquatum project is going on right now. I think it was in all the Winnipeg press and the papers, and I think almost everyone who's seen the article figured out that after 10 years, every man, woman, and child in Wasquatum would be paid 50 cents. For giving up all their land and all their rights.
So Wasquatum is a Cree community?
Yes, it's a Northern Cree community. Ininuwak is the word in their own language, which means the people.
Mm-hmm. And this is also the name of the river, which I suppose it's Manitoba Hydro wants to dam?
Yes, it's Manitoba Hydro. And the next community coming up will be Cross Lake, and the one after that will be Norway House. Cree communities up in that area, the Northern Cree Nation.
Mm-hmm. And so they're on one side of Hudson Bay, and then on the other side of Hudson Bay, in Quebec, Hydro-Quebec, the utility there is trying to do the same thing. And
yes,
some of us here in New York, at least, are aware of this because they're trying to export the electricity to New York. Mm-hmm. They've already built a whole series of hydro dams on James Bay, which is the southern inlet of Hudson Bay on the Quebec side. Both for aluminum smelters within Quebec and also to export the electricity to New York.
Mm-hmm. They started doing that. In the 80s, it started with the KV lines. They tried to bring the KV lines right through my community in Akwesasne.
That's right, yeah.
But we protested it and stopped it, so they went around us.
Right.
But a few years ago, I had the opportunity to work in Suffern, New York, where all the KV lines connect that come into New York. And my first day on the job, I was right beside it. We were doing a treatment plant, a recycling plant right next to that. And that first morning I was working there, my friend got me the job. I started hearing this strange noise, pop, pow, bang, boom. I says, what the heck is that? My friend says, wait till break. You ain't going to believe this. I'm going to show you. So break time came. We went over to the, I can't think. I'm so tired tonight. Where the fence is up, the substation. And then it happened. I seen it. A little bird flew through, and it just exploded in the air. Pop! And then another bird flew through. Bang! And then a big bird flew through it and went bow! And then a whole flock of little tiny sparrows flew down and went rrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr it's at the, you know, no concern for life. That's what I saw. Because this is just personal, you know, all life is equal in a lot of ways. You know, the mosquito nation, the bee nations, the bird nations, we don't have that right to just take their life like that for our own, you know, personal greed. So that bothered me a lot. And so I finally got to follow that KV line down to Suffern, New York, to witness this.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about this before on other radio stations across the country, how much it disturbed me. And that they couldn't even come up with the money to put a fence or a netting around this structure.
Mm. And I would imagine that the power from the dams in Manitoba as well is heading south of the border to the United States,
yes,
for the most
it's,
part.
It's heading this way.
Yep.
It's very disturbing. As a Native person, the things that I saw because of the land, because of the abuse, because of the disrespect for the people, also the companies and corporations, I'm a little bit familiar with them, involved in this, and I've worked for some of them in the past. It's disturbing. It really is, because it's really just about greed.
And there's some positive Native corporation that you are involved in.
We tried to create a corporation called First Energy back in Manitoba,
uh-huh,
about 4 years ago. Native Recycling Group. They blew us right out of the water.
They blew you right out of the water.
Oh yeah.
Meaning what? Who is they, and how did they blow you out of the water?
They. I better be careful.
Well, first of all, what were you developing?
A gasification, and we were developing a hydrogen oxygen. We're using biomass and converting it into hydrogen oxygen.
Hmm.
Out of our exhaust came water. We built a prototype. We took it to Washington, D.C. We got.
When you say biomass, this is like municipal waste?
That was one thing we could look at, was the garbage of the world, that we could get rid of that. We took a prototype down to Washington, D.C., guest of Dick Gregory and Marion Barry. We set it up down there to show the world that, you know, this is very, very possible, that we can, you know, if we put these technologies to use, that, you know, we can turn this world around. But I guess the world just wasn't quite ready for it at that time.
So how did, what was the upshot?
The upshot?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the upshot yet.
Oh, okay.
Not quite yet. I'm hoping for an upshot, of course. Hope, though, is kind of a shallow word.
All right, well, we only have 5 minutes left. Do you guys want to perform? Can you do one number that'll take us to... you know, maybe take us through the next 3 or 4 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Then take it away.
Off the water, then cooling in the upper atmosphere, the air falls, creating a vortex, becoming a hurricane. Cutting down forests releases these gases. So if we stop logging and replace oil and coal with other forms of energy, then the earth can slowly heal. Thank you.
An automobile is a machine for transportation. A multinational corporation is a machine for making money. They're not in business to do anything else.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.